Fantastic. So I'm excited about today because today's what we call our Anointing Sunday. And if you've got no idea about what that is, well, you're going to find out a little while about what that is. And we're going to create an opportunity at the end of the service to pray for everyone, which is going to be, it's always a powerful time. And during January, we've been doing this series called Heavenly Habits. Who's been enjoying it? Okay, we're talking about how do we set ourselves up to maximize the year ahead. And so we've been realizing that actually who we are today is a real product of the habits that we have. Some are good habits, some are poor habits, some are healthy habits, some are unhealthy habits. And we've been talking about what kind of habits do we need to entrench in our lives. What habits do we need to start in our lives, and what habits may we need to stop in our lives in order for us to maximize the year that's ahead? And because this is what I know, is that who I am today is a product of the habits that I have in my life. And we make a lot of resolutions at this time of year, and we hope that things are going to change. But here's what I know, is that resolutions alone are never going to change that which a habit created. You can't just believe your way out of something. You have to do something actively about it in order for it to change. Even if you were to pray for something, God could do something, but then you still need to change some habits that got you into that place in the first place. And so it's really important that we focus on the habits that we focus on. Simply making a resolution is not going to help. Resolve alone cannot change what a habit created. And so we need to recognize that. And as I say, today is our Anointing Sunday. And it's also the beginning, as Nathan said, of our week of prayer and fasting. And as he said, we do it twice a year. We like to start out the year by having a week of prayer and fasting. And it's where we pray for the year ahead. We have a whole bunch of things. And in those handouts that you're going to get when you leave, you're going to see about all the prayer focuses that we've got for the year. But today I want to speak on this day about this habit. I've simply called it the habit of habitation. The habit of habitation. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's really the habit of valuing, seeking, and being found in God's presence, not occasionally, but every day. Actually making a habit of habitation in Him. Listen to what David prayed in Psalm 27. I'm going to read from the Amplified. He says, one thing. Won't you say one thing?
One thing.
Say it again, one thing.
One thing.
One thing I've asked of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in His presence, all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty, the delightful loveliness and majestic grandeur of the Lord, and to meditate in His temple. One thing that I seek. One thing above everything else that I seek. You know, if you were to say, what is the one thing for you? I wonder if it would be similar to what it is for David. I wonder if you would be able to say, the one thing that I seek is to habitate in God's presence. The one thing that I seek above every other thing. Every other thing that the world would try and say we need to seek after. The one thing that I seek is to be found in His presence. You know, what David is talking about here is not just a visitation, but he's talking about a habitation. Not being satisfied with just the occasional visitation of God's presence in your life. The odd little touch or here, the odd little God encounter here and there, but actually saying, no, what David is saying is that there's something so much more than that. God doesn't want you just to have a visitation. He wants you to understand what it is to have a habitation. He wants you to know what it is to live and dwell in His presence. You know, visiting my home and dwelling in my home are two different things. You can come to my home and hopefully you will receive great hospitality, and you might stay for an hour or two, and maybe we'll have dinner, maybe we'll have a cup of coffee, maybe we'll have a barbecue, we'll chat a little bit, we'll have a good time, but then you leave. But if you live in my home, there's a whole lot of things that you have that you don't have but just by being a visitor. When you come and visit my home, you don't have unrestricted access to my home. If you go visit someone's place, let me tell you, in case some of you who may not be socially aware, you do not have unrestricted access to every part of that person's home just because you're visiting. Now, there's certain places you do not go. Who would just walk into someone's home that you don't know, you're just visiting, and you just kind of, I'm just going to walk through your house. Here we go. Let me look in your bedroom. Let me go into your bathroom. Let me just go into your closet and have a look inside your closet. You wouldn't do that, would you? If you're doing that, we can pray for you. All right, you need to become a little bit more socially aware. That's not what you do when you visit. But when you dwell, you have the privilege of unrestricted access. You have full use of all that's in my home. You also have, you can be completely yourself. The good you, the bad you, whatever it is, that who you are in those good days and bad days. When you dwell in a place, you get to be all of those. When you visit, you always just put on your nice face. I'm just a, look at me, you know, like I'm just a good Christian person and I just have good attitude all the time. But when you dwell, it's warts and all. When you dwell, you're able to be completely yourself. It's where, when you dwell, it's where you're fed and nourished. It's where you rest and recreate. It's where you're known and you get to know. It's where you're protected and safe. It's where you grow. It's where you do life together. You kind of get the idea. There's a big difference between visitation and habitation. There's a big difference between visiting a home and dwelling in a home. And how much more is that true when it comes to God's presence? God doesn't want you just to be the occasional visitor into His presence. He doesn't want you just to be the occasional and satisfied with just the occasional kind of visitation to His presence. But He wants you, like David, to say, this one thing that I seek, this one thing that I seek for this year, this one thing that I'm really passionate about walking into this year, God is being found in your presence. One thing. The habitation, not just visitation. I think too many Christians, and I've been doing this for a long time and been in ministry for close on 30 years, and let me tell you that I think too many Christians settle for a lesser spiritual experience and encounter than that which Jesus ushered in and God desires. Too many of us have kind of rationalized and explained away our occasional visitations and how we've grown satisfied with that. And I want to say to you, the Bible that I read and the gospel that I read and what I see Jesus and why Jesus came is that He didn't just come for us to have a visitation. He came for us to have a habitation. He didn't just come for you. If it was just about a visitation, He would have come and gone and that's it. But He didn't. He came, He went, He sent His Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, to dwell within us, and He's coming again to claim His church, His people. You see, He doesn't just want a visitation, He wants a habitation. In that place, it's where our faith moves from just being from an intellectual place to an experiential place. God doesn't want your faith just to be intellectual. He wants it to be something that you experience, because when you come into the presence of God, it's so much more than the intellectual. We believe that knowledge is good, and knowledge and growing in the Word of God and growing in these things, that's why we have many things in the life of the church to help you in that. But ultimately, we also want you to know, above all of those things, the presence of God. Yes. We want you to make a habit of habitation in His presence. We want you to know His presence, because His presence is what makes the difference. And as David says, it's where you discover His beauty. It's where you discover His majesty. It's where you discover all that He is. It's where He fills our hearts, our minds, and our spirits with what the world cannot give us. And the psalm that David prayed says that his house, his church, is a big part of that presence. It's a big part of that habitation. To think that you can just habitate in God without the church is not what the Word says. The Word says the church is a big part of learning to habitate in His presence. His church is where His beauty, majesty, and splendor should be seen, felt, and experienced. You know this building here? It's so much more than just a converted warehouse. It's so much more than just a service. It's so much more than just a building. It's so much more than just a place that we gather. It's so much more than all of those things. It's a place that is here to steward His presence. And every time you walk into this place, you see, what converts us from being a warehouse? What converts us from being just a room? What converts us into something spiritual? It's His presence. It's not the lights, it's not the chairs you sit on, it's not the carpets. All of those things have a place. But above all of those things, the things that makes this His house, His church, is His presence. And David says, one thing that I seek. There's one thing that I'm going to pursue my life on. It's, Lord, it's seeking Your presence, that I might dwell in Your presence. The Word of God says in Matthew 18 that where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is amongst us. His presence is here. Whenever we gather as His people, whether it's in this building, whether it's in a home, whether it's in a cafe, whether it's in a workplace, every time we gather as His believers, His presence is with us. God wants us to have a habit of habitation. Not a doctrine of visitation, but a habit of habitation. Don't try and explain away just the occasional things and be satisfied with that. Listen to what the Apostle Paul explains it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He says these words. He says, consequently, speaking to the believers of the church, you're no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of His household, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And listen to this. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. See, the difference between David, who prayed that prayer in that psalm, and us here today, is that we stand on this side of the cross. That which David longed for, that which he was praying for, that which was a deep desire in his heart, is ours to inhabit because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It was a longing of David's heart. God, I just want to live in Your presence. But we have it as a guarantee because of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. Because of Him, we have the privilege of access into His presence daily. And He's given us His Holy Spirit, as we've just read, to dwell and remain in us, to make His presence alive in us. What does that mean, Matt? That means that you do not have to settle for visitation. But if we live on this side of the cross and Jesus sent His Holy Spirit, His very presence to dwell inside of us, that means that we can make a habit of habitation. Yes. You know, John, when he saw Jesus approaching him in John chapter 1, verse 32, said these words. He says, I saw the Spirit come from heaven as a dove. And he uses this word, he says, and remain on Him. In the same way, God wants His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to remain on us and us in Him, for us to forge this habit of habitation and understand that it's not some extraordinary thing that's only for those that are super spiritual, but it's something that each and every one of us as sons and daughters of the living God have access to, this habit of habitation. I don't want His presence just to visit this place, this room, and leave. I don't want His presence to visit my home and leave. I don't want His presence to visit my family, my marriage, and leave. I don't want His presence to visit my devotion times and then leave. I don't want His presence to visit my workplace and leave, my personal world and leave. I want Him to remain. I want to stay in His presence. I want to have a habit of habitation. What are you settling for? You know, there's a great scripture that's found in John 15. And I love the scripture because Jesus teaches about what this actually means, this habit of habitation. And we're going to pick it up in verse 1 of John 15. And He says these words. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Here it is, remain in me. The Amplified says, dwell in me. As I also remain or dwell in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or dwell in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain and dwell in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain and dwell in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain or dwell in me and my words remain and dwell in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. What Jesus is emphasizing here is the habit of habitation with the simple truth is that you are what you're connected to or who you're connected to. Is that you are what you're connected to. And he uses this powerful image of a vine. And I remember a couple of years back, we had a couple in our church that got married and they had their reception at a local vineyard. And I remember at a certain point going out and walking amongst the vineyards and I noticed that there were these vine stems that came out of the ground every couple of meters. And then on those vine stems, there would then be the branches that actually hung above them. And it was a powerful thing to actually just see that this vine stem supporting all of these branches. And anyone who knows anything about vineyards will tell you that the vine stem is the propagator of life that sustains everything else above it. So often we focus on the above. So often we're looking at the branches and the fruit and all those things. But those things are dependent on the vine stem. When the vine stem is healthy, when the vine stem is well cared for, when the vine stem is spaced out properly like it is, over centuries they've discovered the perfect spacing of the vine stems, and when the vine stem is well cared for, it then produces great fruitfulness on the vines that are above. But the opposite is also true. If the vine stem is not healthy, if we're connected to the wrong vine, it's amazing the difference that it can make. The same is true for you and my life. Who we're connected to, who we're habitating is, where we choose to dwell is what's going to make all the difference. Jesus says, make me your habit. Make my presence your habit and see what I do in your life and through your life. And so there's a few things. And I just want to mention just a couple of things here this morning about what Jesus says about this habit of habitation. And the first thing is this, is that we need to make sure that we're habitating in the true vine. He says these words in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. If he's the true vine, it must mean that there are false vines as well. Why would he say that otherwise? So there must be things, there must be false things that we can sometimes try and attach ourselves to that promise so much but ultimately deliver so little. They're not necessarily even evil things, they're just not the true vine. They're a vine, they're not the true vine. They're not the real thing that we need to be habitating in. And so we do things like this, is that we try and attach ourselves to our career thinking that is the main thing. Or maybe it's a relationship. We think that's going to be the answer. That's the thing that's going to fix everything. And so we attach ourselves to that as the true vine. Or maybe it's about success and status and power. And we think that that's going to make all the difference. Maybe it's money. Maybe you think if I had more money, that's going to make. And so you pursue, and you realize that it never can truly satisfy. Or maybe we think if I just busy myself enough and I just try and mask that hurt, that pain, whatever it is that I may be covering, and I just busy myself and just try and make my life busy and make it all about everything else and never deal with what my stuff is, I think that somehow that's going to be the thing that's going to bring the fruit that I believe. Let me tell you that those things are all the false vines. Jesus says that he alone is the true vine. Those things can never give what Jesus alone could give. And he doesn't want us just to attach ourselves to something. He says, I want you to be grafted into me. I want you to be grafted and connected into me. I want you to dwell. I want you to make a habit of habitation in my presence because I am the true vine. As we stand here at the beginning of 2024, what are you grafting yourself to? What vine are you attaching yourself to? But I want to say to you, there is only one vine that is worthy of us being attached to, and he says, I want you to graft into that. I want you to understand it is my habitation. It is my presence. Jesus is the true vine. And when we seek him with everything that we have, wherever you find yourself, you'll see that the promise is that he will do great and incredible things. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. We are meant to be dependent on him for life. You are not meant to be self-dependent. The world's messaging is you look after you. The world says you, no one else is going to look out for you. You just do you and you look after you and you prioritize you and you make you the center of your universe. But Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. You were created, I was created to be dependent on him. Amen. There's no other way to live than to be dependent on him. And that means that I have to make a habit of habitation, seeking him with everything that I have. 7 times in the scripture in John 15, it says these words, remain or dwell, remain or abide or dwell in him. 7 times, 7 is God's number. He says 7 times, says, I want you to remain, I want you to abide, I want you to dwell in my presence. I want you to remain, I want you to abide, I want you to dwell in me. I want you to remain, I want you to abide, I want you to dwell in me. I want you to remain, I want you to abide, I want you to dwell in me. I want you to remain, I want you to abide, I want you to dwell in me. I want you to remain, I want you to abide, I want you to dwell in me. I don't even know what number I'm up to. You get the idea. The messaging is clear. Remain and dwell in him. J.C. Ryle, one of the great holiness writers, writes this, and he says this is about to abide or dwell. He says this, it means to cling to him. Are you clinging to Jesus as you start this year? It means to stick fast to him. It means to live your life close to him, to get nearer and nearer to him, to roll every burden unto him, to cast your whole weight on him. Never let go of your hold of him for a moment. What does that mean? It means no matter what it is that I'm facing, no matter what it is that I'm going through, no matter what challenges may be before me, no matter what opportunities may be before me, what I'm called to do, the one thing that I'm called to seek is a habit of habitation. To cling to him with everything that I have. To cling to him with all that I have. You know, if you look at the context of that scripture in John 15, you'll notice that it's sandwiched between John 14 and John 16. So you've learned something in church today. Why do I say that? Because John 14 and John 16 are about how Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us as people. And it speaks about all the things that he'll do and what his purpose is and all those kind of things. And it speaks about that. Go and read it. Go and read John 14. Go and read John 16. And then read John 15 in a whole new set of eyes. Because you realize that when Jesus says these words, it's something. There's something powerful. He says he promises the Holy Spirit who would be this gift, who would bring the presence of God to life within us. John 14, verse 16, let me read this portion of text out for you. It says, I will ask the Father, Jesus speaking, he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So we can abide in him because he abides in us. Wow. It's not simply about you trying to be a better Christian, trying harder, reading your Bible more, just trying to pray harder, doing all the right things. You can do those kind of things. We've been talking about different habits that you can do in your life and the importance of them. But above all, he says, understand that the one thing that you need to be seeking is his presence. And he's made it possible for you and I, right here, right now, in this moment, to enter into His presence without you doing a thing other than turning your face to Him and saying, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I seek You." You know, I love that. In John 15, verse 4, Jesus actually says, "Remain or dwell in Me as I also remain or dwell in you." There it is. So build your life around the true vine. The second thing that we see Jesus saying out of this John 15 scripture is simply this, is that when we make a habit of habitation, it will produce fruit in your life. He says, "I'm the vine," verse 5, "you knew are the branches. If you remain and dwell in Me and I in you, if you remain and dwell in Me and I in you, if you remain and dwell in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." See, the promise is when you're connected and dwell in the presence of God, when you make a habit of habitation, not other vines, it's not that you might bear some fruit. It says you will bear fruit. And not just some fruit, but much fruit. Jesus wants you to be incredibly fruitful in your life, especially with kingdom fruit. Sometimes I think we're chasing after a whole lot of other fruit, but He says, "What I want for your life is kingdom fruit." And in fact, when I think about other scriptures that speak about fruit, one of the scriptures that comes to mind is about the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And it says, "But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And sometimes, though, I think we can look at our lives and we can say, "Okay, I hear that, I see that, Matt, and you say that this is mine to live in it and to inhabit, but I don't necessarily always see that fruit in my life. How come I still get angry? How come I still worry? How come I still get anxious? How come I'm still not patient? How come?" Well, it's because you're not thinking about fruit the right way. How many of us know that fruit has a process? If you come back to the image of a vine, you know, in a vine stem, you don't just plant something and bunches of grape just appear the moment you plant a vine. There's a process. And here we find in a vine stem, before there's anything above, is that the potential for fruit is already in that vine stem. And then branches grow, and then eventually a little bud appears, and then eventually your first grapes appear, and then eventually you get a whole big juicy thing of grapes. There's a process. Just because you can't see things, it doesn't mean that He's not at work. He desires fruitfulness for you in my life. And sometimes, as we saw in this text, sometimes He's got to trim back some things. Sometimes He's got to cut out some dead areas in our lives. And just because you may be going through a season where you feel like you're under the microscope and God is dealing with you, it doesn't mean that you are out of His presence. No, in fact, that can be the very place that signifies you are in His presence, because He's dealing with what He must so that we can become more fruitful in our lives. I'm so thankful for those seasons where God has worked, and He will continue to do that in my life. Areas that He's wanting to trim back, areas He's wanting to cut out, areas that He's wanting. Why? Because Matty says, "Man, I want you to be even more fruitful." And as you dwell in my presence, we open ourselves up to that process. And I've learned to become so thankful for that dealing. I'm so thankful for what He's doing in my life. Why? Because He wants us to be more fruitful. And then lastly, not only does dwelling in His presence produce fruit, but it also says being disconnected from Him produces nothing. He says, "I'm the vine," in verse 5, "and you are the branches. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing." Some of us need to hear that this morning, because you're trying a lot of things in your self-efforts. You're trying a lot of things in your own knowledge. You're trying a lot of things in your own experience. And I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but I'm saying the one thing that you need to be seeking above all other things is seeking His presence. Because His presence is what will help put those other things into healthy context. His presence is what enables those other things to become supernatural gifts. His presence is what will take those things and use them for kingdom purpose. But if we think we can do things on our own, build our families on our own, build our marriages on our own, work on our own, and we think that we know all the answers, let me tell you, God's word is clear. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. And I know that God has positioned many of us in places of influence and stature, whether that be in a family or whether that be in a workplace or whether that be in some other environment. And God says, just remember that apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, I want you to establish a habit of habitation. I want you to understand how powerful and essential it is to dwell in me. I want you to understand that you cannot just do this in your own strength, but make a habit of seeking me. What I know is Jesus is not just looking for lordship, but he's looking for friendship also. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And he says he doesn't want you just to have a lordship relationship. That's an important part. But he says he also wants a friendship. He wants intimacy with you and I. And that's cultivated on a daily basis. Blessing doesn't just come about because of what you know. It comes about because of who you know. Holiness is to do with proximity as much as it's it is to do about piety. Because when you're close to him, when you're in his presence, there's something that stirs in your heart that says, because I'm close, because I'm in his presence, I don't want to do this stuff. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to do any of these things. Why? Because I realize that my life is a living worship to him. And I'm so thankful for what he's done. And I just don't want to grieve his heart. I don't want to sin. I'm able to turn a blind eye to temptation because why? I have a proximity with him. Some of us are struggling with things in our lives, and my question to you is, are you making a habit of habitation? Because when you make a habit of habitation, that is where piety, the piety that you long for and desire and that you read about in the Word, becomes possible. Why? Because it's not dependent on you. It's because of what we get from him and the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us that enables us to look in the face of temptation and say no. We need to make a habit of habitation. Apart from him, you and I can do no good thing. He's the true vine. When I abide in him, he produces good fruit in me. When I make him the habit of habitation, apart from him, I realize I can do no good thing.